Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Yes, over the last few weeks we've been absorbed in one of our most popular series of conversations with our human condition guru, clinical psychologist Lynn Worsley, about liars and cheaters. By the look of the response from our Open House audience, lots of us know all too well what these liars and cheaters are like. Lynn, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Lynn.
Sadly. How are you?
I'm good.
Now, this is our final week on these scoundrels. Give us a quick recap of the last 3 weeks where you've taken us.
Well, the first week we looked at the development of lying in children and how it's actually a sign of good cognitive and social development. And the second week we looked at lying and exaggerating and how that link is between, you know, you exaggerate and it can move to lying.
Yes.
And last week we looked at some research on how to detect when someone's lying by listening to the language structure that they have in their sentences.
Okay. So where are you taking us this week?
Well, this week we're going to look at the context of lying, the environments where we lie and the effect that this has on us. And we'll also look at whether there are people who are liars by default.
Yes.
People who are more prone to lying.
Is there a particular type of person who lies and cheats, Lynn?
Well, when Lance Armstrong admitted to using performance-enhancing drugs and blood doping in an interview with Oprah Winfrey back in January, much of the public responded with absolute shock and outrage, as though this was just unheard of. But after all, he did cheat and he lied about it. And what could be worse, people also felt contempt for him, particularly, I think they probably felt that they were quite justified. But Armstrong's actions were morally reprehensible in many ways. And to add fuel to the fire, his public apology really wasn't accepted by many people.
No.
But the truth about cheating and lying is that it's not just the Lance Armstrongs of this sports world or corrupt executives or those labelled pathological who were doing it. At least nearly all of us at one point or another of our lives, we lie. And we do it far more regularly than we care to admit.
And if you don't admit to it, you're telling me a bit of a porky pie. Yes.
Now, but consider these statistics on cheating. 30 to 40% of people cheat on their taxes.
Wow.
30 to 60% of married individuals, this is in the US, will engage in infidelity at some point during their marriage.
Wow.
And 73% of all test takers, including prospective grad students and teachers, agree that most students lie at some point or cheat.
It's a lot, isn't it?
And as for lying, Julie Diamond, who's an organisational psychologist and researcher, says that humans are exceptional liars. They're truth stretchers, story weavers, myth makers and data ignorers. Diamond talks about the ways all of us spin the truth, exaggerate claims and just plain lie all the time in our everyday lives.
Cheer me up, why don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
So when we read about Lance, we think, it's something we wouldn't do and that's just pretty scary. Because it's not just something we could do, but something we've already done probably on our way and in our own worlds. And if you don't remember doing it, again, like you said, you're probably telling a bit of a porky.
Yeah. So what a bunch of hypocrites we are to slag off about Lance Armstrong. Is there an acceptance, a more of an acceptance of lying in our culture, do you think, Lynn?
Well, in studying the behaviour of children, I find this really interesting because we notice that the development of lying involves the ability to see that others don't know what we think. So that's a development thing. But this is also accompanied by the child's desire to please others or to gain approval or avoid getting into trouble.
Yes.
But because we raise and educate our children in a culture of competition, we'll always see that the child needs to compete with others for their attention or to get benefits or to avoid being last or left out.
Yes.
So the child learns really quickly what they need to do to please. And it isn't actually being compassionate or considerate of other people. It's rather the opposite.
Yeah.
Beat the others and you'll be rewarded.
Yep.
The next step, therefore, is to lie if we're in trouble or lie to get ahead. And remember, compassion and competition are on actual different ends of the spectrum.
Yes.
Now, in our education system, that happens, but there are other places that we have this competing or this push for competing with others.
Yeah.
In our families and communities, we have funding and welfare-based organisations, so they're competing for each other for funding, and that means they don't actually work together because that would affect their funding.
And it'll be very tempting for them just to push the envelope a little.
Yes,
that's what they probably say.
And in families, we've got competing needs for attention within the family, and this breeds a culture of seeing each other in the family as a threat rather than a companion or an ally.
Yeah. Yes.
I also see that there's a culture of competition between families with children's performance at school, and I see this very often where the parents are trying to compete with other parents for who's got the best child or whose child's performed the highest or who's got into the selective school or the selective high school.
How much of that is about the parents rather than the kid?
I think that is entirely about the parents and not the child, but it breeds a culture for that child to grow up with that says that I have to perform and I have to compete with other children and therefore I may have to lie to actually get that.
I can't be honest about myself.
No.
So what would you say about that kind of parenting?
I would say that's a parenting who is perhaps going back to that narcissistic side, that parents own the child, not the child has their own life themselves.
Yes.
And look, you know, I think we've all had times in our own parenting or having been parented that we've seen that happen. And again, it's not fixed. It's something that can change. But it needs to. We need to be alert for that, when we're feeling like deeply worried and upset when our child doesn't perform and somebody else's child performs better than ours, we need to actually think maybe we're moving into that area of narcissistic parenting.
It's setting up huge pressures for that child.
Huge pressures for that child. And the child is left with, I have to perform, I have to be compulsive and compliant to actually get somewhere in this world, and I'm going to make sure that, you know, I'll do whatever I need to do.
Yeah. So do we have a culture of dishonesty, do you think? Because it does seem more embedded than perhaps we could honestly own up to.
I think we do. And I think it's critical to consider our culture's role in individuals lying and cheating.
Yeah.
Much of our popular psychology holds individuals wholly responsible for themselves, including their cheating and lying, but from a larger perspective, individuals and social systems co-create the problems, and the problems with one reflects problems with another.
Yeah.
So while understanding it doesn't change individuals' responsibility or culpability or need for help, it does expand our understanding of cheating and lying and makes it more difficult for those who identify with social systems to throw stones without considering their own role in creating the problem.
Yes, yeah.
For example, consider how mainstream culture exerts pressures on individuals' performance. We respond to this culture of performance by using drugs to help our performance with ADHD. We drink coffee to wake us up. We drink wine to make us sleep. And we're even using performance-enhancing drugs in the bedroom.
Yes.
So before we get our backs up in judgment and horror,
let's
keep at least one eye on ourselves and the others on the mainstream culture that's too readily scapegoats individuals like Lance Armstrong, rather than makes a bit of a responsibility on its own.
It's all close to home for many of us, Lenny.
Yes.
Too close for comfort. If there's someone, have you ever had many parents who've come in with a child with a lying problem?
Oh, definitely, yes.
So what would you advise those parents, and how do you work with a child like that?
I think that, you know, you have to work case by case.
Yes, yes.
And oftentimes a child who is lying incessantly, you need to have a look at the family system and the school system that the child's within and look at why they may be having to feel like they need to tell a lie.
Yeah.
But there are some issues with children who have developed lying at a very early age as well that may be to do with their incredible need to please or control others.
Yep.
And that needs to be dealt with in a setting where you actually work with the environment around the child.
Yeah.
But most of the time I would tell parents that this is actually a sign of development. The child's able to see things from another's perspective. They're able to understand that they are separate to you, so they tend to trick you or lie to you to try and get you to like them. And the important thing is to, one, look at the age of the child, and consider their development, to actually start demonstrating yourself what to do when someone's lying, or or, you know, just even taking money back to the shops when someone's overcharged or undercharged you or something like that, that enables the children to see that there's a good response.
Okay, that's with children. What about adults? An adult comes to you and says, I'm getting myself in more and more strife because I just can't tell the truth. Most of the time they get found out.
Yeah.
So what do you advise them? How do you work with them?
I start with setting up a situation where they go out to tell truths and they practice it.
Yep.
And picking up times when they don't tell the truth and going back and apologising for that.
Wow.
And moving to a zone where they can actually see things differently, or maybe even setting up a new scene where they say, look, I'm not going to lie or exaggerate anymore. I'm going to actually try and tell the truth. So if I'm finding people to actually stand up and say, look, you know, actually, I think you might have told an exaggeration then, and giving them the chance to change.
It can be terribly habitual, though.
It's an incredibly habitual thing.
In their DNA.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And like I said, I think a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the extrovert who sees things oftentimes from a more pronounced perspective. And so they will tell stories with all the bits that they see in it. And the introvert often will see things that are very introverted perspective, so they don't often see everything.
No.
So one may be exaggerating, one may not be exaggerating. So again, it's perspective. But at the same time, someone who's telling a lot of lies and is in that habit, they need the practice to change.
Yeah, and it will take time.
It will take time, yes. And they will make mistakes, and then they'll need to be made accountable for, but they mustn't be, you know...
Ground down.
Yeah, you can't just tell somebody there's no chance of change.
No. What about people with Christian faith? Some instructions or guidelines on how they can be part of this solution, perhaps, or deal with the liars and the cheaters. Any wisdom there?
I love going to Luke in chapter 6, and Jesus stands and he talks to the crowds and he goes through the Beatitudes. He opens up a minefield of controversial responses to life's difficulties. And he calls on us to go through life to not judge other people.
Yes.
He says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own?
Yep.
And how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you yourself fail to see the big plank in your own? And take the plank out of your eye and then you'll be able to see clearly to move the speck. And I think that tells us a lot. It means that we don't start pointing our finger, but we start demonstrating and being vulnerable with our own issues and our own changes.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.